It's Tuesday, November 8th, and this is VOA's International Edition. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. It's still election eve here in the United States. The U.S. presidential campaigns are all but finished ahead of voting. Financial markets are pleased with recent political developments.
This very crude and rude affront to Hong Kong's high degree of autonomy regarding the judiciary is a big blow to one country, two systems.
Politics in Hong Kong become blurred. Also ahead, returning animals to the wild. It's all on today's International Edition. The 2016 U.S. presidential campaign is almost over. But far from stopping, Republican Donald Trump and Democrat Hillary Clinton embarked on a marathon of rallies before Tuesday's national election. Trump, the blunt-spoken real estate mogul ending his first campaign for elected office, headed to five states in an effort to upend the former Secretary of State, who political surveys suggest could become the country's first female president, that, of course, Democrat Hillary Clinton. She made four stops in three states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina, the same states that Trump visited, along with Florida and New Hampshire. All five of these states are among the most closely contested, with the outcome in each of them likely to play a key role in determining who becomes the country's 45th president and following President Barack Obama as he leaves office January 20th. Before making her first campaign appearance of the day, Hillary Clinton posted an ad on her Twitter account highlighting controversial remarks made by her opponent, Donald Trump.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody, and I wouldn't lose any voters, okay?
When Mexico sends its people, they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists. You got to see this guy. Oh, I don't know what I said. I don't remember. He's going like, I don't remember.
Well, meanwhile, Mr. Trump kicked off his packed day of travels with a campaign appearance in Sarasota, Florida, dismissing talk of people giving him credit for running a potentially losing campaign.
No, I don't want any credit if we lose. I'm not looking for credit. I'm not looking for credit. I'm looking to make America great again, not credit. This election will decide whether we are ruled by a corrupt political class. You've been watching what's going on. Hey, folks, the system is rigged. It's rigged, okay?
VOA senior national correspondent Jim Malone is following this final day of campaigning very closely, and he shared the highlights with VOA International Edition host Michael Lippin.
From the polls that we see a modest but steady lead for Hillary Clinton. Most margins are in the 3 to 5 point area, though I must say in terms of a national race at this late stage, if it's up to five, that's a pretty significant number. It looks like in the last 5 to 7 days, Clinton has rebounded a bit from an earlier Trump surge. So in the final days here, she's putting some distance between herself and Trump. But many of the key state polls are still close. Trump is within perhaps striking distance. But at this late stage of the race, he would really have to have a big surge at the end, not only nationally, but in these key states, places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida, where they are spending most of their time.
Well, speaking of spending time, what is Trump doing this day before Election Day to try to boost support in those battleground states?
He's hitting a number of the key states that will decide the outcome of the race. He's hitting places like North Carolina, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Trump really needs to win some of the bigger battleground states at stake where the race is very close, place like Florida, like Ohio. He's been leading in Ohio, though the margin there may be getting more narrow by the day. And the other issue here is on the Democratic side, the Clinton turnout machine to get voters out to the polls is considered much better than what Trump has. Trump is really relying on the Republican National Committee, and historically they're not quite as proficient at getting out those voters at the last minute.
He also says he's got a lot of enthusiasm, too. How much does that factor in?
It could, you know. A lot of the polls show a gap there where Trump supporters say they're more enthusiastic. But we saw this 4 years ago, too. Romney voters were said to be more enthusiastic. But then the Obama supporters exceeded the predictions at the polls. Obama was favored by less than 1 point in the final average of polls in 2012. He won by 4. If we see that same kind of gap this time for Clinton, it could be a much bigger gap. But right now, the race appears to be reasonably close. But Trump really has to run the table, so to speak, win all these close battleground states at the end.
Well, what is Hillary Clinton going to do on this Monday to try to keep her edge in some of these states?
She's really focused on Democratic-leaning states that have gone for the Democratic Party in presidential elections since 1992. We're talking places like Pennsylvania and Michigan. She really wants to nail down states where if Trump were able to win one of them, I think it would upset the apple cart and give him a route to the magic number of 270 in the Electoral College. So to some extent, the Democrats are playing defense here at the end. They're not as focused on typically Republican states like Arizona and Georgia, where she's still reasonably close in the polls.
Thank you so much to our national correspondent, Jim Malone, speaking with us on Election Eve.
Thank you.
Of course, U.S. politics is much bigger than any one person, and whoever becomes president will have to deal with Congress. Polling data that weeks ago heavily favored Democrats to win control of the Senate and give them a fighting chance to capture the House of Representatives now suggests that the Senate is a toss-up, and Republicans are all but certain to retain their House majority in Tuesday's vote. Democrats would need a net gain of 4 seats for a Senate majority if Hillary Clinton is elected president, 5 if Donald Trump is victorious. Well, it's time now for us to check social media, and we do that with International Edition's G. Abby Lee. She's right here in Studio 22 with today's trending stories on the web. Hi, G.
Hi, Jim.
Well, of course, we're still one day away from the U.S. presidential election. What's the buzz?
Well, of course, the U.S. presidential election. The Moments section of Twitter curated 15 of the most popular tweets from Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, respectively. And the popularity is calculated by the number of likes and retweets.
Well, that's quite a bit of tweets to be going through. Tell us the gist of this first.
Sure. So, interestingly enough, the most popular tweet from both candidates were the interactions between the two. After President Barack Obama endorsed Clinton back in June, Trump took to Twitter to share his reaction. He tweeted, "Obama just endorsed Crooked Hillary," his nice nickname for Hillary Clinton. He wants 4 more years of Obama, but nobody else does. To that, Clinton replied, "Delete your account." The rest of Clinton's most popular tweets were mainly fact-checking tweets about Trump's claims on global warming and also respect for women.
Okay, what about Mr. Trump's tweets?
The most popular one is the reply to her "Delete your account" tweet. He responded by sending this tweet. "How long did it take your staff of 823 people to think that up? And where are your 33,000 emails that you deleted?" His other popular tweets include one lamenting the media's criticism about his wife Melania Trump's speech that closely resembled that of First Lady Michelle Obama.
Okay, anything else that happens to be trending today?
Jim, after all that tit-for-tat, I think people needed some comfort from Twitter. At least that's my guess for why hashtag cat in 5 words is trending. The hashtag is pretty self-explanatory. People can use it to come up with 5 words to describe cats. Here's an example. Eat, nap, purr, groom, repeat. Here's another one. All of them love boxes. Very true. And I'm also trying to come up with one, so please stay tuned. Back to you.
Okay, and in the interest of full disclosure, G. Abby Lee is a cat owner.
That's right.
Thanks so much for the great wrap-up, G. And you can follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Our personal accounts are also out there. You're more than welcome to follow them at VOA Stevenson and at G. Abby Lee. Among the top stories that are trending in Asia, China orders barring of Hong Kong lawmakers over oath controversy. China approves law to tighten control on internet use. Cambodian senator gets 7-year sentence for Facebook post. Indonesia poised to pass Asia's first right to be forgotten law. Status quo in South China Sea could be best option for now. You'll find all these stories and much more at the voanews.com website. And if you have a smartphone, check them out using the VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues. A letter to the U.S. Congress from FBI Director James Comey clearing Hillary Clinton of any wrongdoing concerning how she handled emails while Secretary of State has sparked a rally in financial markets. Jill Malandrino joins us from New York with more.
Well, we got a fresh review of Hillary Clinton's emails over the weekend, and the FBI concluded that won't lead to charges. This triggered a relief rally as political worries have eased a bit. It also snapped the longest market losing streak in over 36 years. Just coming into trade today, the S&P 500 index was riding a 9-session losing streak, only to reverse, and we've had our best day in 2016 since March. So why is the market reacting positively to an expected Clinton win? Does it suggest she is a better candidate? Not necessarily. So let's take a deeper look onto how this is being interpreted. And Bloomberg outlined some really interesting arguments. A Clinton victory would roughly preserve a status quo that has been fantastic for equity investors. So if nothing else, that's a reason traders may prefer her in office. As for longer-term policy, the existing framework of minimal fiscal stimulus plus an accommodative Fed has been great for stocks, and it's going to help preserve the Goldilocks scenario that equity investors seem to crave. If Trump is the fiscal stimulus candidate and that causes the Fed to tighten sooner than expected, then the current economic regime starts to change. So it's not necessarily that they think Clinton is a better candidate based on policy. It's because she is more of the same. It would be status quo for the market.
One of the caveats in the election is the fact that the House of Representatives appears almost a solid lock to remain Republican, which would create a little bit of gridlock in the system, which the markets seem to like.
Well, it's interesting because whether you talk to analysts or traders or just regular people on the street, the first thing they say is they don't understand why the election is as big as a deal when you isolate it to one person, because decisions at the end of the day can't be made unilaterally. So even if there is gridlock, things remain the same. It is status quo. And one thing we know is markets don't like uncertainty. So if we were to get Clinton in office, where she will most likely carry out the same policy over the past 8 years, and we still have a divided House and Senate, we're really going to be trading in an environment that's been conducive over the past 8 years.
And we saw the S&P 500 today kind of bounce off of its 200-day moving average, and oil was up a little bit, too. That had to help.
Oil was up a little bit, but that's a completely separate issue from the election results. I think oil has just really been up in sympathy with the market as a whole. Crude oil supply and demand fundamentals are incredibly weak right now. We were looking for at least production freezes or cuts out of the OPEC meeting. We've got nothing. In fact, they were raising production levels. So if you look at just basic supply and demand fundamentals, we have way too much supply in an already stressed system. So I expect oil to remain at these $40 to $50 levels, which is good for the consumer because it keeps prices at the pump cap, but it does add strain to companies like your big oil producers.
Well, great for the economics consumer is the great high production from Jill Malandrino in New York. Thanks so much, Jill.
Thank you.
And we'd like to remind you that election coverage is right here on VOA. Starting at 0 hour UTC, you can tune in until we find out who our 45th president of the United States will be. We're going to be on nonstop throughout the election evening here in the United States, giving you all of the results from all of the states and trying to sort it all out. And we'll figure out who wins and hear from the candidates themselves at the end. So be sure to tune into VOA starting at 0 hour UTC tomorrow. China's parliament, the National People's Congress, issued an interpretation of Hong Kong's mini-constitution, or basic law, on Monday that effectively bars two pro-independence lawmakers from taking their seats in the legislature, altered their oaths, and pledged allegiance to the Hong Kong nation during a swearing-in ceremony last month. The NPC Standing Committee acted before a Hong Kong court could rule on the matter. Hong Kong's chief executive, CY Leung, said his government would fully implement Beijing's interpretation.
As the chief executive of the SAR, I have the duty to implement the Basic Law in accordance with Article 48 of the Basic Law. I and the SAR government will implement the interpretation fully. Hong Kong is an inalienable part of the country. The Hong Kong people have the duty to uphold national unity, territorial integrity and security, as well as the dignity and interests of the Chinese people.
The state-run Global Times said the NPC has the power to interpret the Basic Law, and that should not be challenged and denounced by the few people of radical opposition of creating chaos in public opinion. A court in Hong Kong must still rule on the case, taking Beijing's decision into consideration. But analyst Willie Lam of the Chinese University of Hong Kong tells VOA's Victor Beatty the NPC interpretation, in his words, is a blatant violation of judicial authority granted to Hong Kong's courts by the Basic Law.
Currently, the Hong Kong courts are processing a similar law related to oath-taking. So the NPC has no legal and constitutional right to steal the march on Hong Kong courts. Even if they are dissatisfied with what the Hong Kong court might rule, they have to wait until the Hong Kong courts have made the ruling before afterwards making protests and so forth. So this very crude and rude affront to Hong Kong's high degree of autonomy regarding the judiciary is a big blow to one country, two systems.
Are you going to be able to fight back somehow?
There is very little that Hong Kong can do apart from holding protests, and we expect that would be larger demonstrations in the coming days or weeks. But by and large, the Hong Kong community is divided. The pro-establishment camp, including the business community, is still solidly behind Beijing. So even though the majority of the Hong Kong legal community who will be holding a demonstration tomorrow is definitely against frequent and arbitrary interpretation of Hong Kong laws by the National People's Congress. Apparently, there is not much substantial that Hong Kong can do to prevent Beijing from exacerbating its blatant interference in Hong Kong's domestic affairs.
Well, these pro-independence lawmakers, now will they not be able to be seated?
The two pro-independence legislators who were deemed to have improperly made out their oath, they would be disqualified from office. It is expected that by-elections for the two now vacant seats will be held in 3 months. If colleagues and comrades of these localist groups fail to be re-elected in the by-election, we expect perhaps further demonstrations and even potential ugly clashes with the police. However, what is happening is also that Beijing is using the apparent rise of localist sentiments and even protests as a pretext to squeeze Hong Kong further, as a pretext to crack down on Hong Kong. We must remember that the issue of so-called self-determination and even pro-independence activities arose in Hong Kong only because Beijing has not lived up to its promises of making Hong Kong highly autonomous.
Willie Lam said Hong Kong's one-country, two-systems arrangement is under threat, and Beijing's interpretation could jeopardize Hong Kong's reputation as a financial hub as multinational corporations reconsider their presence. You can find more on our website at voanews.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE, and we also have a Facebook page. It's called VOA Now. You're listening to International Edition. This is VOA.
Tuesday, November 8th, the American people choose a new president. VOA's live election night coverage begins at 2200 hours Universal Time. As events unfold, we'll bring you the finale of this historic campaign from Washington and VOA correspondents across the United States and around the world. Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, you'll hear comprehensive coverage until the last speech is done. It's America Votes 2016 on VOA.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This is VOA's International Edition. Human activities and habitat destruction threaten many species around the world. Conservationists are pushing back in many ways, including captive breeding programs and rehabilitation centers, working to increase populations and return animals to the wild. VOA's Faith Lapidus has details.
These 17,000 hatchlings are yellow-spotted Amazon River turtles, known as tarakayas. While not an endangered species, Peru's government considers them vulnerable. They're threatened by logging activity near rivers, which can destroy their nests. So in August, conservationists and local volunteers collected as many eggs as they could and brought them to safer nesting areas to hatch. The turtles were released this month into their natural habitat in a protected area of northeastern Peru's Amazon River Basin. Tarakayas can grow to almost 3 kilos and live up to 70 years. These little guys have gotten off to a good start. Meanwhile, halfway around the world, a different and much larger species was prepared for its return to the wild. These endangered orangutans were rescued from an Indonesian forest reserve last year when fires caused by slash-and-burn clearing threatened the area. After veterinarians checked their conditions, the animals were placed in cages and moved to an artificial forest owned by the Borneo Orangutan Survival Foundation. Here they'll have a chance to get used to living in the forest again, finding food on their own.
This is the process before they are released to the wild. So if they don't have sufficient food, we can intervene. And if they manage to survive on this stage, we will release them back into the wild.
Since 2012, the foundation has released 229 orangutans back into Indonesia's forests. Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Faith gave us some great video with that story, too. You can check it out at voanews.com, which is exactly the same place where you can listen to International Edition, if you like, or download our program. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Dave Magnus. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to be with us tomorrow as we find out who the next president of the United States will be. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Ross Sea is a vast and remote area of water and ice in the Southern Ocean off the frigid coast of Antarctica. It is also home to an unusually diverse and rich ecosystem, unique in its climate and geography, and one of the last remaining areas on Earth that remains unspoiled by human activity. It is home to a wide variety of deep water species, and unlike nearly every other sea or ocean on our planet, its top predators, whales, seals, penguins, and seabirds, are still abundant. Precisely because life is still abundant in the Ross Sea, it is in danger of exploitation by humans, particularly by commercial interests, and at risk due to the impacts of climate change. That is why, on October 28th, 24 states, including the United States, China, and Russia, as well as the European Union, created the Ross Sea Marine Protected Area, or MPA, at 1.55 million square kilometers, the world's largest ocean sanctuary. The Ross Sea MPA is designed to be a natural laboratory for valuable scientific research to increase our understanding of the impact of climate change and fishing on the ocean and its resources, said Secretary of State John Kerry in a written statement. This means that as of December 2017, when the agreement enters into force, the Ross Sea will be protected from nearly all human activity. 72% of these waters will be off-limits to commercial fishing, while in a few areas, some fish and krill may be harvested for scientific research. Other human activities will be strictly limited. The creation of the Ross Sea Marine Protected Area is an extraordinary step forward for marine protection, said Secretary of State Kerry, and it did not happen by accident. The creation of the Ross Sea MPA happened thanks to many years of persistent scientific and policy review, intense negotiations, and principled diplomacy. It happened because our nations understood the responsibility we share to protect this unique place for future generations.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.